Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the May Ordinary Accounts meeting. Okay, and thank you for your attendance. Thank you for those in the gallery. I note that we have a full agenda tonight with nearly 300 odd pages to review. Before I commence, on behalf of Council, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this meeting is taking place and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Members of the gallery are advised that this meeting will be audio recorded, so just be aware of that, and that no council decisions from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon of the first clear working day after this meeting, unless council by resolution carried out at this meeting request the CEO to take immediate action to implement that decision. Okay, in regards to record of attendance, we have everyone here except for two apologies from Councillor Collinson and Councillor Wilson. They have been prior approved. Moving on to disclosure of interests. Financial, proximity or impartiality. I note that we have received a proximity interest notion from Councillor Steph Boyd, given where she lives in regards to item 13.8. So thank you, Councillor, for submitting your form. Thank you. Okay. Councillor? Thank you.
Yeah, just declaring a proximity interest item 13.8, the scheme amendment of number 21, Town Centre, due to proximity.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. There is nil presentations. Any deputations from the gallery? I think we don't have any. So, nil applications of leave. I saw Councillor Maywood hand up first. Thank you, Councillor Maywood.
For the 30th of June to 21st of July.
June 21st of July. And Councillor Brockman?
19 of June to 20 July.
22 of July.
Is that right? What was July?
19 of June yeah. To 20th of July.
20th of July, thank you. Lovely. So we have two. Any more further applications for leave? No. Can I have a mover, please, for that? Thank you, Councillor White. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Boyd, thank you. Everyone raise your hands to accept the application, and that's been approved and it's been carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to confirmations of minutes. Point 9.1, the minutes to the meeting of the 21st of April. Can I please have a mover for the confirmation? Councillor Maywood, thank you. A seconder, Councillor Cutter. Thank you. Councillor Maywood, anything to discuss? Nothing further? Okay. I see there's no any discussions on the minutes. There is nil. That's the case. I ask to raise your hands and please accept the minutes, and that's been approved, carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 10, announcements by the presiding member. Since we last met, a number of us, including the CEO and some other councillors, we attended a number of Anzac Day services where we represented the council, particularly at the Lewin Barracks or the Dawn service, as well as the Perth One Memorial on that morning, and as well as the Richmond Primary School the day before. All these events were warmly received, and I do note that in the Perth One Memorial, the wreaths were still there only just last week. Okay, they've been there for quite a while, so a lot of respect for those services. We also, during the month, we also unveiled the wonderful painting by Marcus Bilby at the last home game at the former East Fremantle Football Club facilities. For those that haven't seen it, Okay. I guess the replica is in the cafe for those to go and have a look. And also, if you're not aware, definitely look, ask for the... Is it on the website, the making of?
Yep.
Check the website with Mark's movie, the making of that painting. A fabulous portrayal of that wonderful ground at that point in time. Last but not least, last week the CEO and myself met with Lisa O'Malley and we attended the Swan Yacht Club, where we looked at what they were doing for the temporary install of their marquee and other bits and pieces around the foreshore. At that point in time, I then invited the Commodore and the CEO to come to present to council about their future plans, because while they're temporary in nature, they're looking at doing something more permanent into the future. So what we impressed upon them is that getting us involved early is probably making us aware of what they're looking at doing is probably a good idea. Okay. Nothing else. Now, moving forward, unresolved business from the previous meetings. There's nil. Reports and recommendations of committees, nil. So moving on to item 13, which is 13.1, the East Fremantle Community Park, consideration of a permanent perimeter fencing. Before we commence this, I'll ask the CEO just to give us a bit of an introduction about where we are with this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor and councillors, so this report brings back for determination whether council should approve permanent perimeter fencing at East Fremantle Community Park following the decision at the March council meeting to consult first. So consultation is complete and it shows mixed views with no clear consensus. So the report presents three pathways. One is to approve permanent fencing with conditions. The second is to not approve and pursue an exemption or a waiver. And the third is to defer the decision pending further information being provided. So the key matters tonight are considering the protection of public access and amenity to the park, compliance certainty, particularly from WA football, funding and life cycle implications, and the governance controls required through a licence variation and any delegated approvals before works can proceed. So the recommendation for the reasons as articulated in the report is for the first of those three pathways, which is to recommend the approval of permanent fencing with conditions. One of the items within that recommendation, point four, does talk to the request to authorise myself to finalise the necessary agreement and including with that the fence alignment and materials, number and location of openings and so forth, consistent with the principles articulated in the report. So I understand clearly, though, that there would be a desire for elected member oversight on that particular detailed design, as it's very high profile and it's appropriate that you want confidence that the principles in the report are applied. So the reason the recommendation proposes a CEO authorisation is to avoid a further delay once the compliance assurance and legal documentation is ready, because the detailed alignment, materials and gate locations are implementation matters that need to be settled efficiently. But what I'm happy to commit to, of course, is that before any final authorisation is granted, I'll be able to brief yourselves on the proposed design, ideally with a plan and a site walkthrough, and I'll keep you informed as the detail develops. And that should give you practical oversight without creating that second formal approval step. But other than that, I'm happy to take questions and leave it in your hands, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions to the CEO? Yes, Councillor Cutter.
Thank you. And I suppose this is perhaps something that maybe we could have got clarity last time around when we were talking about the temporary fencing. But I noticed that one of the options was around seeking confirmation from the state government whether or not there's any other way they can support an exemption request. And I had thought that perhaps we'd already taken that option And so I'd just be interested to know what engagement we've had with the state government and what feedback, if any, we've actually received. Because my understanding of this is obviously it's a WA Football Commission decision that comes off the back of it's essentially a business model preference for the vast majority of clubs. So it's their expectation that's being set. But despite the funding coming from the state, the impression I had been given is the state government is kind of pushing us to accept this fence. So I'd be interested to know what, if any, engagement we've had and where that sort of left us. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, please. Thank you.
So, through the chair, there's not been formal engagement with the state government. It's been as part of conversations with representatives from the relevant minister's office. And I think it's fair to say that without it being formally corresponded to us, it was made clear to us that the current minister was in favour of resolving this matter. And if that meant it required a permanent fence, that's what they'd like to see happen, because what they don't want to see happen is for their investment in this facility to be then questioned if the club can't play its home games there. And it's also been made clear that the Football Commission acts independently of the state government, in that the state government can't direct the Football Commission to grant a waiver. They could certainly encourage or seek to influence, but the information that I have is that the state government's preference would be for this to be resolved without the need for any further intervention by the state government.
Can I further add that both the CEO and myself have been present at meetings where representatives of the state government were in attendance, where these topics were well discussed and I guess thrashed out. Yes, absolutely. Any further questions of the CEO? I guess Councillor Boyd.
Will the design, if proceeding, take into account community crime prevention through environmental design principles?
Through the chair, certainly, even though that wasn't specifically detailed in the report, what we were looking to do is ensure that the community amenity, so in terms of visual impact, as well as impact on grounds and or fence maintenance were key components, if that can dovetail in with the designing out crime principles as well, certainly that's something that I can look to have some input into without knowing precisely what that might look like, because it's a relatively low fence and it will have openings for the majority of the time. But certainly I can consider those principles to see whether or not there is something we can add to the actual design, location, type of fence that's used.
And to further clarify, so in your council resolution, it authorises you to approve that fence, but that fence design, you'll describe that back to us, and you'll present that to us at some point. Not formally, of course, but...
Yeah, just to be clear, if Council were to support this recommendation, I would circulate the design brief once all of those factors about the alignment and locations are known, offer a short site walkthrough and briefing for any interested councillors before any final sign-off, and then I would also look to confirm in writing how that final proposal actually gives effect to the principles that are in this report, minimising the visual impact, maximising access, those kind of things.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Cutter, again, sorry.
Thank you. Different question this time. I've been through, obviously, all the public feedback, and I guess it should be noted there was quite a lot of response, which is great, and a lot of detail given. One thing I wanted to check, though, is a lot of the support in favour of the fence are obviously predominantly members of the club, and a lot of their explanation given was so that the club could charge fees. And I just wanted to check, because obviously the Footy Commission has accepted the height of the fence. They've said that's for safety reasons and not for ticketing reasons. So I just wanted to clarify that the fence is being approved for those reasons, and so that there's not a misunderstanding or mismatch, because a lot of the supporter feedback in, you know, supporters of the fence was so that the club could charge fees. And so that obviously runs against that open access model too. So I just wanted to double check that.
Through the chair, certainly it's clear in the feedback we received that there's still a degree of misinformation out there. I can't say for certain how many of the respondents are actually members or supporters of the club, because it didn't have to, unless they self-identified. We can only infer whether or not they are. But certainly the information we put to the consultation process was purely about the fact that there was a requirement of the Football Commission that we needed a fence in order for the games to be played at the park. It's clear, though, through the consultation, we're going to have to do more work in conjunction with the club to explain that having a fence doesn't equal entry fees, that there is an alternative model in place for the club to gain revenue other than through gate revenue. But it's accepted that there's still misunderstanding in our community, or more broadly, about what the requirement for a fence is really for. And it is articulated by the Football Commission to meet their venue regulations and their... I suppose they've articulated it's in terms of player and spectator safety and being able to control access into a facility whoever attends a game, rather than it being the ability to charge an entry fee.
Mm. Okay. Councillor Maywood, you had a question?
Yeah, thank you. In terms of, in the report, it talks about WA Football previously advising that the low picket style fence would be suitable. I guess the likelihood of them confirming written assurance that this will be the case and there won't be, similar to what Councillor Cutter talked about, sort of scope creep when it comes to additional fencing put in place or the increased height of the fence.
Through the chair. So we haven't had direct correspondence from the Football Commission. What we have been provided is through the club. So the club were advised that the proposed fencing would comply with the WA Football's requirements. What's proposed in this recommendation is for us to seek our own verification of that, and also to ensure that it's not going to be a different standard, for example, when they are responsible for the finals. So we need to get confirmation of that prior to any fence approval proceeding.
Okay, thank you. No other further questions before asked from mover? No? Okay. Therefore, let's turn to page 9 of the further report, which refers to this item, with recommendations on page 17. Can I ask, please, for a mover and a seconder? You'd like to move? Councillor? A seconder? Councillor Maywood, second. Councillor Brockman.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Look, I'm really happy to support the recommendation. I was interested that in the feedback we got, it was only 140 out of 8,600 residents, which represents less than 2% of our community, which is disappointing, I guess, for something that's certainly been the talk of the town for some time. But it was the numbers were pretty evenly split. So, but we still don't know what 98% of the community thinks. I would also like to say that there's been a lot of discussion about the fence, but the real story is access. And I think as long as we can ensure that the public has easy access to the community park outside of the games, and it's immediately opened afterwards, I think that'll be a lot more palatable for those who are dead against the fence. I would also like to make the note that the East Fremantle Community Park is about bringing the community together, and the East Fremantle Football Club has been doing that as part of this town for over 100 years. And so it would be ideal that we could both maintain access and retain the football club at the precinct. So I'm very much in favour of this motion. My only other comment is that the conditions, I think the conditions are absolutely as laid out here in the officer recommendation. They are key, and because any scope creep, as previously mentioned on this, is obviously not going to fly. So I'll leave it at that and say I'm glad that we've got here to a point where we can move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Captain Maywood.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm going to look down at my notes. This is a really tricky issue. I've thought about this a lot over the weekend. And I think it's probably important to start by explaining that originally, and I remember these conversations from, you know, a couple of years ago, that this facility was designed and has been communicated as an open access facility. And that the perimeter control is being imposed by a external body, not by the town. And I think that's really crucial for the residents to understand, that we are responding to an external compliance requirement. And looking at the community consultation, the CEO mentioned previously, there is a real split and there is no clear consensus. But I agree with Councillor Brockman's comments around access, people's concern about being able to access that facility. And I do think that even with the perimeter fence as it is, that there are points of access. And I go to the facility a lot and I see people using that facility. And I think that it still really has that community feel, which is so important. On the balance, I think my biggest concern is the facility and this community project's future to survive and to continue operating as it has, as a football facility, but also as a community facility. And that is so tied to the operating models between the clubs, and the football club is a really important part of that mix, and ensuring that they can continue to play matches at the facility is critical to that operating model and then the success of the facility. So I support the officer's recommendation, and I agree again with Councillor Brockman that these conditions detailed in the report are critical, including the fact that no town funding and ratepayer money goes towards the construction of this, and also that, you know, we stick to those conditions and there is no scope creep. But yeah, I support the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Councillor Harrington.
Yes, thank you. Probably not a popular view here, but I do wish that Council did say we would send this out by paper, this review. But I do wish, sorry, the other way around, it was going out by online, but I do wish we'd put it out by paper through a letterbox drop. Because I think that it was probably the reason why it was such a low return. And I think we might have got a better understanding, regardless if we could or couldn't put this fence up, of what the community wanted, you know, the ratepayers themselves. And from the beginning, as we all know around this table, one of the highlights of this whole event taking place was to have the no fence. And we went on and on and on about it and how it would work. And it has worked remarkably, because the moment the fence came down, it wasn't even built, people were really down there using the facility. And it worries me. I know it will be open, but it worries me that people won't use it quite the way they are at the moment, taking their picnic baskets down and everything else. It'll have that visual effect of no go. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I will be wrong. And the other thing bothers me a little bit is, although the Commission will pay for the fence, as I understand it, the operating costs of maintaining it will be our cost, which will be disappointing. For us to have to foot that. But anyway, that's how I see it.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak for the motion? Councillor Cutter?
Yeah, this is a decision I didn't want to have to make. And I think, to be frank, I don't want offence. The reason I'm speaking in favour of the motion, however, is I also want to see the viability of a football club that plays at East Fremantle. And to your point, in terms of a lack of response, you know, I'm around the park a lot. I live nearby the park. I speak to the families who use the park, and pretty much 100% of the people who use the park who are not regular attendees of football don't want the fence. However, when, I guess, facing the reality of having to make a decision, though, and knowing that that decision has a binding impact on the viability of the club as well, I trust that there is a way that we can find a solution that maintains maximum access. And I think it's a least worst alternative pathway. I see some upside around additional opportunities for planting where there's fence protection from constant egress of footpaths. And I pick up on someone's comment saying if we can map out where the current access points are and make sure that we reflect that access can be maintained at those points. My hope is that we can find a pathway forwards that actually maintains for the vast majority of the year a feel of open access whilst retaining the sort of practical ability for the football club to meet their somewhat arbitrary safety requirements.
Thank you, Councillor Cutter. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Does anyone want to speak for the motion? I do want to speak. Look, I'm speaking for the motion. Time will tell if this decision is a good decision or not. But where we are today, we've had to reset. We've had to reset on a number of things for the benefit of both the community and also for the benefit of what we're trying to do with the precinct. I enjoyed reading all 140 responses. Okay, I particularly enjoyed the positive comments that we got back from residents who welcomed the consultation process. So those that did respond did give us a fair amount of detail. They did highlight the concern about cost, and I also absolutely agree that with Councillor Cutter that this is the least of the options that, but in terms of not having a fence from the original. But I also note that we have put in mitigations around the amenity and the open access, okay, to deliver hopefully what the an outside body wants in regards to the perimeter control. I also note that the town has been working strongly with the East Fremantle Football Club together on this issue, and this decision really comes down to this really comes down to being able to work together with other partners to make things happen in the town. I think for us to be for us to isolate ourselves around a fence that even in the consultation, people have said that it might improve the amenity. I don't necessarily agree with that, but a picket fence would improve the site. It is somewhat confusing. I also ran my own numbers over the data though, and I think it is while there's a great tolerance between those that oppose and those who are for it. I would answer a couple of questions. The first is, one of the questions that was asked of me was that in how many people that lived outside the town supported this area? Only about 20-odd percent of people, 23% of people outside the town supported this. And we even had people outside the town that didn't support the defence. So if you draw some conclusions around that, a large portion of those that did submit were living in the town. A large portion of them were living in the town. From those that were or that did have a town address, if you read the comments, there is a dominant. There is a leading to support versus not support, Okay, more like a 60-40 type split versus a 50-50 split that I worked through those numbers. But they all did have the concerns around the miscommunication on who pays and the concerns about making sure that we have enough openness and area around this. That being said, the consultation did give us a slight direction, didn't give us a full direction, but it did give us, I think, enough direction to say that we can't not do anything and sit on our hands. We need to move forward with this fence issue. One thing that everyone agreed in the consultation, if I read anything into that, is that they want this issue to go away. Okay, I think no one said that yet today, but be it for the positive or the negative, I think having this overhang our heads for some time now, I think what is confirmed is this thing needs to be worked through, and I think the best way to do that is by this design process, and both council and the football club will be involved in that process going forward. So hence I endorse the report. Okay. Coming to Councillor Brockman, would you like to close the debate?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. A really good discussion and input from all parties. The only thing I'd like to add is that I think there's a really bright future in football in general, with women now playing a major role, and that presents enormous opportunities for a lot of our residents and the children coming through. So I'm excited at the future of the East Fremantle Community Park. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. I now call for a show of hands for the adoption of the motion that is on, I think it was on page 17. Everyone raise your hands to accept the motion. Thank you. And okay, thank you. Everyone against? Okay, thank you. So that was 6-1. Thank you. It was carried 6-1. Thank you. Okay. Sorry? 6. Thank you. 6-1. Okay. You're welcome to stay. Moving on to item 13.2. Okay, which is on page 18 with recommendations on page 20, which is the Glide In 3-year funding agreement. Can I please have a mover for this item? Councillor Maywood, thank you. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Cutter, thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you. I'm very happy to support the officer's recommendation. The Glide In is a real asset to the town. It's a real point of pride. If you talk to other councillors and town officers from other local governments, most of them will know about the Glide Inn. It's been around since the 80s and it's a really fantastic part of the town, so I'm really happy to support the officer's recommendations to continue the funding agreement between us and them. Thank you.
Councillor Cutter?
Yeah, thanks. Happy to support, I guess, in addition to what Councillor Maywood said, when you actually look at their range of offerings and what's available to the community, our subsidy funding, etc., essentially directly means that the membership is incredibly low and the activities are very, very fairly priced too, which I think is such an important part of opening up the opportunity for people to participate. Because otherwise the alternative would be that they need to essentially double, if not more, the price to participate. So I'm really pleased to support this, given how many people benefit. Thank you.
Okay. Any councillors wish to talk against the motion? Anyone want to talk for the motion? Councillor Boyd?
Thank you. Just like to agree that it is a cornerstone of community wellbeing, both mentally and physically. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak for the motion? Councillor Harrington? Councillor Speaker?
I think this is a wonderful organisation that we have in the town and it should be well supported. And I think it also gives them some idea that they have, going forward, security of what they need to be doing. They had more people turn up at their AGM than we did at our electors' meeting, which is interesting. So I think they definitely need supporting. That's not meant to read into anything. And they're a long-standing community...
Organisation?
Yeah, organisation, but more than that. And I think it's definitely something we should support because it's a group of people that often don't have a lot of home help. They don't have a lot of friendships at their time in life. Some children are already gone and fled the nest and not coming back too soon. And I think these sort of things give those people an outlet that they won't find anywhere else in the town.
Thank you. Councillor Brockman?
Yeah, I also support the motion. I think it's fantastic to have such a community-based that is the ire of other councils. I just encourage the Glide Inn to work on their the marketing side so we can reach even further into the community for the great service they provide. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Anyone else want to speak on this item? Yes, Councillor White.
Yes, I think everything's been said. The Glide Inn is a fantastic organisation and a credit to the town, and I think ongoing support is incumbent on all of us as being good community citizens. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor, I think that's all everyone's really spoken. I'm not going to say anything. Councillor May, would you like to close?
Yes, nothing further.
Thank you. Therefore, the discussion has been closed. I call for a show of hands for those to adopt the motion. Please raise your hands. And it's been carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.3, the budget parameters for 2026-2027. OK, thank you. And before I ask for movers, Exit Manager for Corporate Services, Peter Cosin, like to say a few words.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll make four brief points, and if there are any questions, I'm happy to take those clarifications. This item tonight does not strike the rates tonight. It seeks Council's endorsement to advertise the proposed differential rates and minimum payments for public submissions as required under Section 6.36 of the Local Government Act. Following the public submission period, a report will be brought back to Council for consideration. The current budget model shows that to balance a 26-27 budget, the town requires $10.616 million in net funding from general rates. That equates to an overall proposed rate yield increase of 5.87% on the current year actual yield position. The rate increase reflects the town's broader financial sustainability position, including the need to maintain operating capacity, protect net funding from operations, support asset renewal, and avoid further pressure on reserves at a time when forecast cashback reserve balances remain tight. And finally, a major issue this year is the Landgate GRV revaluation. The report explains that the revaluation is a revenue neutral model. It does not set the total amount council collects, but it does redistribute the adopted yield between properties depending on how individual valuations move relative to the average.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions of the Exit Manager? Yes. Councillor Cutter?
Just to clarify, so what is being advertised is literally the uplift here, so people will not know necessarily the impact yet of what the GRV will have until essentially they receive a rate notice. So this is just the upfront increase overall to the budget position, and then the house-by-house impact won't necessarily be understood until later.
Through the chair, that's correct. So I guess to inform the advertising process, we had prepared a statement of rating objects and reasons. Within that document, it does include a fact sheet explaining the overall rating strategy, and it does provide a summary of valuation movements by property type, but certainly ratepayers will not know their individual impact until such time as they receive their rates notice.
Okay. Nothing further? No, if that's the case, can I... Okay, this item's on page 50 with the recommendation of page 50. Can I please have a mover? Okay, Councillor White, thank you. And second, Councillor Maywood. Councillor White.
Oh, look, thank you, Mayor. this topic has been... what we see today is the result of an incredible amount of work on behalf of the financial team. And I think, firstly, I want to acknowledge and thank the team for the effort that's gone into it. Also, the extensive amount of discussion and briefings in the underlying assumptions and the formation of this. It is complicated and not simple. I guess Peter touched on the long-term financial plan and the sustainability of the finances of the town are very close to all of us, and we're all particularly sensitive to that, and that was an area that was particularly discussed. So, look, I'm very happy to support this, and on the back of all the extensive work that has occurred, and again, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you. I concur with all of Councillor White's comments, especially thanking Peter and the finance team for the amount of work, and also having those briefing sessions and consultations with councillors in the lead up to this process has been really, really helpful, and us being able to see the behind the scenes and how these decisions are made and have our input as well, which has been really, really great. Very happy to support the officer's recommendation, and I'm really happy to see the fact sheet explaining the 26-27 rates, also the re-evaluation, so people are fully aware of everything that's going on behind this. And, yeah, happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak different? No? You want to speak for? Councillor Brockman, thank you.
Yeah, I'd also like to acknowledge the work that Ms. Kirstein's done on this. It's been outstanding, detailed, and we trust in the work that he does, which is a big statement. So if numbers come from Peter, we believe them. When I look at this and note that it's a year where we have the GRV, I think the most common complaint, question or whatever that's going to come is how come mine went up by X percent and Mavis next door only went up by X amount, right? And so I really appreciate that the town has gone to the trouble of putting together frequently asked questions or a sheet. I think the top line, though, has to be, for want of a better word, dumbed down and not use any technical or financial language such that the overall rate increase set by the town is X, the distribution of that amongst the 3,300 households is determined by Landgate through a GRV process. Here it is. You know, something as simple as that, that even a yield may, for non-financial people, I say, what is yield, right? So, but I do appreciate the work that's been done by Peter and in the making sure that we get effective communication out to our residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Brockman. Anyone else want to speak on this item? Councillor Cutter?
Yes, thank you as well for the way in which you've also taken newer councillors through this whole process as well. I know it's a complex thing that we're getting our heads around. I think the other thing that's just to call out, and I appreciate the information provided as well, is in a time where people are going to be feeling a lot of pressure financially, that question mark about CPI is this, but we're increasing rates beyond that. And that recognition that this is about the town reinvesting and committing to reserves that fund ultimately big, significant infrastructure projects. And I think that gap in understanding can feel like there's an overcharge going here. So this isn't just about delivering the same services that then cost more next year. This is about investing in the town's ability to weather shocks, but also continue to invest in some of the big upgrade stuff that we continue to do. So thank you for that as well.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Anyone else wants to discuss this item? No? Councillor White, would you like to close?
Nothing further, Mayor. Thank you.
Nothing further, lovely. Okay, so I again highlight, I think, the recommendation. It was on page 56. And please call for a show of hands for those to adopt the motion. Everyone, please raise your hand. Anyone against? No, that's been approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.4. Okay. That's the Capital Works Program for 26-27, which is on page 81 with a recommendation of page 83. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor White, a seconder? Councillor Maywood. Thank you. Councillor White.
Look, thank you, Mayor. Again, this Capital Works program has been discussed extensively with the councillors prior to this meeting, and I thank the staff for the work that's gone into this. It's an important part of the town's budget next year and going forward, and look, I'm happy to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you. I concur again with Councillor White's comments, especially the consultation that's been ongoing with elected members and the transparency in forming this Capital Works program. So I support the officer's recommendation.
Lovely. Does anybody else want to speak to this item? I sense there's no further discussion. Nothing further to you, Councillor White. All good? Okay. Therefore, I will please ask to show your hand to adopt the motion to accept the report. Thank you. That's been approved unanimously. Moving forward to 13.5. Moving on, continuing the budget theme. 13.5, which is the new schedule of rates for 2026-2027. Can I have a mover, please, for this item? Councillor Boyd, thank you. Seconder? Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Boyd.
Thank you, Mayor. Would also like to thank officers for the time and consideration put into compiling this. Thank you.
Nothing else? Okay. Councillor Music? White. Thank you, Councillor White.
Oh, look, nothing further, Mayor. I think the report speaks for itself.
Thanks. Lovely, thank you. Does anyone want to speak about this item? The fees and charges for next year? Okay, Councillor Cutter.
Yeah, just to call out that I think it's a small financial compromise, but I'm really pleased to see the waivers that we've included as a step towards supporting not just the George Street businesses, but I think having a better community feel in terms of, you know, what makes that street special is the outdoor dining feature, but also the community events as well. So I'm pleased to see that's being supported. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Okay. Councillor Boyd, anything further?
Nothing further, thank you.
Nothing further. Therefore, I draw your attention to, I think it's page 89 where the recommendation is on, and then call for a show of hands to adopt the council resolution. Please raise your hands. And that's been adopted unanimously. Lovely. 13.6, the East Fremantle Community Park Annual Business Plan Operating Budget for 2026. CEO, I ask you to talk through this.
I will keep this as brief as necessary and just frame where the report sits and how we've arrived here. So the business plan, operating budget and fees before you tonight are the culmination of the annual planning cycle required under the operator agreement. But they're also informed by a series of discussions we've had with you and with Bill Gravier over recent months. As you know, we've worked through key elements of their operating model at forums and workshops, including the financial performance in year one, the reforecast position for this year, and the underlying drivers of both revenue and cost. In particular, you may recall we've discussed the relationship between commercial activity and baseline facility costs, the sensitivity of membership and hospitality assumptions, and the importance of strengthening governance, reporting and transparency as the precinct moves from establishment into a more stable operating phase. So what's reflected in the report tonight is that progression. It's a more mature position than in year one, not because the challenges have disappeared, but because we now have better data, clearer assumptions and stronger controls around performance monitoring. So the package is intended to give you a structured and disciplined framework for year two, with open book reporting, defined key performance indicators and clear audit and reforecast triggers, so that you retain visibility and control as the year progresses. But I'll leave it there, Mr. Mayor, unless there are any questions of myself or Mr. Koshin.
Councillor Cutter.
I actually have two questions, so I could just ask them back to back. But I just wanted to check in around the implication of introducing a stretch target. It was mentioned in the report, but I wasn't sure if there was any contractual connection there to a KPI or, you know, achievement of that. And my second question was around our recommendation that we endorse the continuation of the revenue share model. My understanding was that that is actually contractually locked in and it isn't therefore subject to discussion at this point. So I just wanted to clarify whether that is actually the case. I thought that was part of an agreement we had already that's sort of subject to a future discussion. Thanks.
Through the chair, I can answer the second one and perhaps throw to Peter on the first one. So in terms of the revenue sharing model, that certainly is something that is part of the respective licence agreements for each of the clubs, and they have an ability to be reviewed, and that's the point at which we could seek to review that particular revenue share model with the individual clubs. It's not specifically part of the East Fremantle Community Park operator agreement itself, although that makes the kind of the headline for that, if you like, that the ability to have a model, but the actual model is within the licence documents, and they are capable of being reviewed by council and with the various clubs involved.
So is this an endorsement of that then? Because I had understood that was not the term of those licences wasn't an annual discussion, so that's what I wanted to clarify.
So tonight what we're saying is that we continue what we've already agreed to, but that doesn't mean to say we can't look to review that revenue share model going forwards. So we needed to have some certainty in the documents tonight because there's an anticipated distribution of that revenue that forms part of the budget, but we can review the revenue sharing model going forwards.
So the question here is, it's not the model itself, but the percentages that the clubs individually get that we're agreeing to tonight, yeah? It's the agreed breakup of the F&B that we're agreeing to tonight that can be changed as well.
Through the chair, and I will stand corrected if necessary by Mr. Cochin, but what we're doing tonight is endorsing the current model, which has approximately $129,000 for those revenue share payments. And that is based on that agreed share between the three clubs. That will go forward if this is adopted this evening, but we do need to consider a review of the particular revenue sharing amongst the clubs to see whether or not there's going to be any change with that. And that's enshrined in each of their licence agreements, so that all parties need to agree to that.
Okay.
But that's separate to this particular adoption tonight.
Peter, did you want to answer the first question?
Yeah, through the chair, in relation to the stretch targets for retail sales, there is a secondary process for the town in Belgravia to resolve on a performance benchmark, and that performance benchmark will obviously reflect, an improved budget position against which Belgravia's management fee becomes at risk. So in discussions with Belgravia management, they have indicated that they would be receptive to a stretch target on retail sales when the time comes to negotiate that performance benchmark, which will occur during the month of July, and that number will be brought back to council for formal resolution.
Okay. Any further questions? The CEO? No? Okay. Therefore, can I please ask for a mover for this item? Councillor Cutter, thank you. Seconder. And Councillor Maywood seconded. Thank you. Councillor Cutter.
Thank you. So hopefully I've understood this correctly. It sounds very much like there's still discussion around the potential for a stretch target, which I think is appropriate. I think the business plan that's been set out is reasonable, but I think there's opportunity for improvement, and I would definitely like to see that we continue that focus, as I know everyone has a vested interest in obviously reducing the subsidy going forwards. I think it's actually also worth calling out actually how much of that, if the net impact for us is 350, of that 129 is actually being reinvested back into the community sporting facilities, and I think that's actually quite a significant contribution back to the community that we've probably not quite picked up, or at least I haven't quite appreciated before. So with that, anyway, I support what's being proposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood?
Nothing further to add. Thank you.
Lovely. Does anyone else want to speak to this item? Thank you, Councillor Brockman.
Yeah, I support the business plan, but I also acknowledge that the profitability of Carnaby's and so forth is quite dependent on the amount of activity goes through there, which right now, the football club and so forth, but I think the faster we activate the other spaces, the more traffic we will get into Carnaby's, the more community that will come in, and the faster they will achieve their financial objectives. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Bachmann. Anything further, anyone else? Look, I would just like to say I absolutely agree with Councillor Brock. It's disappointing that we do have a subsidy here, but it is an improvement on what last year's was, and this council will continue to ensure that we're doing our darndest to reduce that number, and it is going in the right direction. Okay. That being said, activation is the key, and making sure that the performance criteria are right to ensure that we're heading in the right direction and therefore protecting our ratepayer funds. Okay. Councillor Cutter, anything further to close? Nothing further. Therefore, okay, this item I think is on page 100, the office recommendation. That was moved by Councillor Cutter and seconded by Councillor Maywood. Please ask to show your hands to adopt the motion, and that's been adopted unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.7, the draft council plan 2026 and 2036, endorsement of for public consultation. I know this has been around for a bit. It's on page 132 with recommendations on page 135. I won't ask for any questions, but can I have a mover, please? Councillor Maywood, thank you. Seconded. Councillor White. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you. I'm really happy to support the officer's recommendation again. I think this has been a really fantastic process with briefings and workshops with the community. I think we had two workshops early in the year to go through the first draft. It came back to us. We talked about it again, which was really great, and now it's going out for its final public consultation. I think this new way of combining the corporate business plan and the strategic community plan is a really great way forward, and is just so much has a lot of improved usability, I think, for community members to be able to see what we're planning for in the future and how we're getting there, and also for them to have that input in a really clear way. So very happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor White.
Oh, look, I agree with Councillor Maywood. You know, sometimes when you look at these processes, they can seem a bit abstract and dry, but I actually found this current round very engaging, and it was great to participate, particularly in some of the workshops. And look, and I agree that it's a great plan to go forward, and look forward to community response to what the Council's done. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak against this item? Does anyone speak for the item? No? Okay. Nothing further, Councillor Maywood?
Nothing further.
Nothing further. Thank you. Therefore, I draw your attention to the Council resolution. Oh, that's on page 135. And please show your hands to adopt the motion. And that's been approved unanimously. Thank you. 13.8, Scheme Amendment Number 21, the Town Centre Zone, from single houses out as an outcome and advertising for final adoption. Thank you. Yes. Okay. I just so that's Council Boyd just leaving the room due to the proximity interest. Thank you, CEO. Okay. I know this has been well discussed as well, and given that it was an outcome from a unanticipated consequence. Exit manager, do you want to talk through this?
Look, I think if there's any questions, we did brief a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
As you say, it's just fixing up an unintended consequence to allow houses that were built and in the past and are now heritage houses to and then converted to commercial use to be able to switch back to a residential use, thereby retaining their use and making sure that they keep viable in a heritage sense.
Good stuff. Any questions for Manager of Regulatory Services? Yes, okay, thank you, Councillor.
Is there, with this change, is there any impact on, you know, the heritage rules that apply and so forth? Thanks.
For you, Mr. Mayor, no. It's just allowing the use of the building to change.
Okay. If there's no further questions, can I ask for a mover, please? Councillor White, thank you. Councillor and Maywood seconded. Councillor White.
Look, I'm happy to support this. As described, it was an unintended consequence of a previous decision, and it's pragmatic and common sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Nothing further to add. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone wishes to debate this? I sense not. Does anyone speak for the item? I see not. Therefore, nothing further, Councillor. Okay. With the debate over, I now call for a show of hands for the adoption of the motion. Please raise your hand. And that's adopted unanimously. Thank you. Councillor. And we have Councillor Boyd re-entering the room. Thank you. Moving on to item 13.9. Which is the Community Grants Advisory Committee, particularly the change of the terms of reference and the amendments to the policy 2.1.11. Can I please, this is an administration top matter, can I please have a mover for this item? Councillor Cutter, thank you. And a seconded, Councillor Harrington, thank you. Councillor Cutter.
This seems like a very pragmatic recommendation, thank you.
Nice and short, lovely. Councillor Harrington.
Sorry, just think that this has just tightened up something that hasn't been in present with this committee for a while, and it only meets once a year, so I don't think it's going to do too much damage to it.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this item? I sense not. Nothing further from you, Councillor Cutter. No, lovely. Therefore, it's on page, I think it's 222. I then call for a show of hands to adopt the motion. Thank you, the resolution. And that's approved. Councillor Harrison, did you raise your hand then? I did. Thank you. It's approved unanimously. Okay. Moving on to item 13.10, close off historic recommendations relating to Duke Street. I believe this is another item that Fraser, do you, Executive Manager, to talk to?
Happy to talk to this one. Mr. Mayor, so through you, this item closes off a recommendation that's been unacted upon since 2017 and another relating to Silas Street, which I can't recall the date, but it's also been on there for a while. What actually happened is the work requested by council was carried out along history, got delayed. Well, there were proposals to change the Royal George Hotel site, and while that was being developed, eventually when the civil development applications came through, these matters were canvassed through there because there was proposals that any works could be paid for as a contribution from the developer for that proposal. However, when the operations team investigated these issues, they were found not to be viable. Thus, a proposal for Duke Street was to turn it into a one street, put angle parking down one side of the road, didn't deliver any more car parking, and it forced, and the officers sort of considered that what would happen from the one-way streets is that you'd force traffic down the other narrow streets in the nearby vicinity, so for no benefit from it. So, and it created some issues around getting waste trucks and things in there. So that was not recommended. For Silas Street, the proposal was to look at options for getting more car parking along there. Various of them were investigated. All but one didn't yield any more car parking than is currently down there. The one that did yield more car parks, seven or eight more car parks, was to put angle parking on the Silas Street dog park side of the road. However, in order to do that, we would need to move into the main roads reserve and move the footpath around it, which is a long and complicated process. And so the benefits versus the cost and time and effort involved in that were not seen to be there. So that was resolved through that work through the DA. So we're just putting this up to close off those action items, which are being reported through council forums monthly, so we can clear those.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Cutter?
Yeah, I just have a question. I note that the part two, that no further work's being undertaken, and I just wanted to clarify, because I actually, in the council plan, there's a potential proposal for work to be taken in 28, 29 that talks about parking in the Plimpton precinct and town centre. So I just wanted to confirm what that is and that, okay, that this isn't therefore ruling that out. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, it's not the same. What is proposed in the council plan will be to look at parking management rather than physical works, so that we'll be looking at changing parking times. I think the first thing we'll be looking at is surveying the car park availability, and then looking at management techniques like changing times or introducing paid parking, residence permits, and that sort of thing to manage the parking that is limited parking that's available there.
Any further questions? I just want to reinforce a question. While we're closing out something that's from 2017, that doesn't stop council bringing something forward that's in regards to similar issues in regards to this area, because we do know there are issues with parking all over the town, including George. And
through you, Mr. Mayor, if I may, I think the focus on that area at the moment is to improve the accessibility and walkability and cyclability there, and that's a strategy that's currently adopted, and that's what we're pursuing at this time.
Okay, thank you. Lovely. Okay, if there's no further question, can I please have a mover for this item? Okay, Councillor White and Councillor Brockman, thank you. Councillor White.
Oh, look, thank you, Mayor. The report speaks for itself, and it's good to close out some of these outstanding items. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Brockman?
Yeah, I think what was good to see was it was raised that it wasn't covered off through one of the councillors paying some attention to detail, and it's good to have to be closing this item out to make sure that we don't have any items just laying around that are unresolved, so very happy to close this out. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak against this item? Does anyone want to speak for the item? I'm sensing nil. Councillor White, anything further?
Nothing further.
Therefore, I shall close that discussion and call for a show of hands for those to adopt the motion. Please raise your hands. And that's been approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 1311, which is the monthly financial report, 30 of April 2026. Can I please have a mover for the financial report? Councillor White, thank you. A seconder? Councillor Cutter. Councillor White?
Look, thank you, Mayor. The financial report speaks for itself. Thank you. Okay, happy to spot.
Councillor?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Nothing to add. I note that the recommendations on page 240... I think page 240. Any further discussion on the financial reports for April? No. Okay. Therefore, I close the debate. I assume people have gone through the data and the office of recommendation on page 2, and call for a show of hands to adopt the motion and the resolution, and that's been approved unanimously. Moving forward to 13.12, which is the accounts for payment for April 2026. Can I please have a mover? Councillor Boyd, thank you. Boyd. And Councillor Cutter, thank you. Councillor Boyd.
Nothing further, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Councillor Cutter?
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion on the April finance reports? On the payments, sorry? No, there isn't? Okay, nothing further to add? No? Okay, therefore, I think it's on, let me see, I think that recommendation is on page 263. Okay, call your attention to that page and therefore show your hands to accept the adoption of the motion. Thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. Moving forward, come to the end. Item 14, motions of which prison notice have been given. It's nil. Any notice of motions for consideration at the next meeting by elected members? That's nil. Thank you. Questions by members of which due notice has been given is nil. New business of an urgent nature from elected members? It's nil. Thank you. And there's no matters behind closed doors. Thank you. Therefore, closure of the meeting at 7:10. Thank you for everyone's attendance and thank you for an efficient meeting. Well done.